when he was killed by Hakim ibn Hizam in the store, he looked at him. You're wearing the garment of the king of Yemen? So he, knowing the value of La ilaha illallah, said, I, because he's black. They looked down upon him. He said, I am better than the king of Yemen. And my mother is better than his mother. And my father is better than his father. Wise words that show you the value of La ilaha illallah. A black man is better than a giant, wealthy king of Yemen. Okay, now give us from the stories of the Sahaba. Abu Bakr. Who's Abu Bakr? Go ahead. Go ahead.
There was a couple of sons that said, bring half your wealth into Abu Bakr. He gave all his wealth, and the Prophet asked, what did you leave for your family? He said, Allah and Umar gave him half of everything. He said, what did you leave? I left half of everything.
Okay. More. Give us another example. We mentioned about at least 10. Who is his name? What's his name? No. What's his name? The one that when Allah revealed من تنال البر حتى أبو طلحة. Abu Talha. You gotta, guys know these names are very important to you. Guys know them like the back of your hand. There's not many of them. And you have to know these people. Abu Talha did what? What's the verse? You will not reach Bir until you spend from that which you love. Bir is, according to some scholars, a place in heaven. لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. When Abu Talha heard this, he went and evicted his family out of his most favorite farm, and he gave it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it says مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, that which you love. You got 10 houses, you got 10 cars, you don't go give the junkiest one, the cheapest one, and say, I want Bir. The most beloved one. And I told you, a lot of other Sahaba, when they used to love someone, something of wealth, of this life, what did they do with it? Give it away for Allah. That, because they wanted to have the position of Bir on the judgment day. Farm of Day. Sahih. That's Abu Dahda. Any more stories? What did he do? You weren't here last week, right? But we did mention that. What did he do?
He gave money for
the entire army. I told you, he made an entire army. He gave them first, he said, 100 camels. The Prophet got very happy. He seen how the Prophet was getting happy. He said, 300 camels, which was the entire army. And everything those camels needed, and the army went under the wealth of Uthman ibn Affan. One last one is how they sacrificed, even if it meant their life. Remember the story I mentioned about three Sahaba in the Battle of the Yarmouk? What was it?
They were wounded, and then the nurse came to them with water. And
do you remember the names? Do you have the names? Ikrimah. Number one is Ikrimah. Number two is Suhail ibn Amr. And number three is Al-Harith ibn Hisham. These were the three I told you were in a battlefield, and they were all mourning out of pain, wounded. And when the first one, they nursed the first one, he said, go to the second one. I was about to drink from the water. He said, go to the second one. When he went to the second one heard the third one moan. He said, go back. The third one, second one said, go to the third. Third said, go to the first. They got to the first. The first died. They went to the second. The second had died, and the third. So they were generous, even if it meant their life. The first one is Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. Ikrimah, the son of Abu Jahl. The second one is Suhail ibn Amr. And the third one is Al-Harith ibn Hisham. Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. Suhail ibn Amr. Suhail ibn Amr. Al-Harith ibn Hisham. Okay. That's enough on that topic. That's a quick review. Give us some of what we talked about in the next issue, Al-Riyah. These are aspects of good manners. What did we say about Riyah? What does it do? What's the difference between minor shirk and major shirk?
You can know the deep part.
Okay. What are some of the reasons for riya, showing off? Give me three. We mentioned more than ten. What is it?
Love of this life.
Okay. Go ahead.
Huh? Your family upbringing.
Upbringing. When you grow up in a family, it's rare that you don't show up because your upbringing has an effect on you. Okay. What's the devastating effect of riya?
No reward for the deed and punishment and goodness.
That's the major two effects. You don't get reward. If you show off in something, keep that in your mind. You're not going to get reward of it. Second of all, there's so many verses and hadith we went over that there's hellfire awaiting you. Okay, give us some examples of the Sahaba. In worship.
So when one man, me and one man, came at the middle of the night and coming drought, after everybody in the dinner.
What's his name?
His name, the Muslim.
They don't know his name, good one.
And he made dua, he was making dua in the middle of the night to Allah, they drank. And this is after everybody in the dinner made dua for him. And,
what's his name? Anyone know his name? The narrator of the story. He was leaning against the pillar in the masjid of the Prophet. Anyone remember? Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir. Who? Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir. Where is the story at? Do you guys remember what I said? What book? Sir Alam al-Nubala for al-Zahabi. Okay. So what happened was this black man made dua three times. Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir thought this guy's a crazy man. How is he making dua when we made all dua? And he continued making dua the second time, third time. The sky began to lighten and lightning and the rain began to be poured until they had to make dua that Allah stop it. Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir, in the long story, followed him to his house to see where his house is. And then when he seen him, he welcomed Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir. What was this black man's job? Shoemaker. This man was a shoemaker. So he followed him to his house and he talked to him, said, he hinted him that I seen what you did. And when he hinted him, the black man got so angry, Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir said, I gathered my belongings and I left. And then he came back to visit him later on, found that that man has left Medina. In fact, he said, Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir said, I went door to door asking about him. He had left Medina. He asked the people he was living with. They said, what did you do to him? Tell him that made him pack all his belongings and leave Medina. This is how fearful they were of showing off. Okay. We brought examples in a lot of things, and this was the last example. You came to Yusuf in a very good time. This is where we left off, and I brought, as I told you, examples in everything. In ibadah, in Quran, in crying. You remember I told you how they used to hide their crying? One of them would say, oh, I got a call. He'd cry in public. Here's a verse of the Quran or hadith or some story. And to cover up his crying, so people don't know this crying and go and talk about it, he says, oh, I have a call, or cover it up with that. And I told you some of them went to the extent that their wife sleeping next to them, they would sit and recite to themselves at night. Their wife next to them, the pillow gets wet from their tears and the wife next to them doesn't know. And I also mentioned to you, there were some scholars who would baby their wife to sleep. Why? Why would they baby their wives to sleep? So get up and pray. To get up and pray all night. We mentioned examples and I gave you in everything. In Siyam, what did they used to do in fasting? What did they do, Yusuf? What else did some of them do? That's right.
They used to
oil, similar to chapstick, to show their energy. Okay, Yusuf, do you remember where we left off? I said there's two more things I need to give you examples on.
Salaam
wa rahmatullah. Nice to have you back, Skandar. Okay, the next one, I said I'm going to give you examples in jihad. Ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah, when he used to go for jihad, when he used to go to jihad, He used to cover his face. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak used to cover his face. When a soldier seen how strong he was fighting and how energetically he was fighting, he went to his face and tried to take the covering off his face. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, just to see who this man is so he can record it in history, because they used to talk about each other. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak said, "Are you one of our enemies trying to expose me?" He took the sign that he's just uncovering his face just to see who he is, to get the courage, to give the threat. He said, "You're what he's trying to tell. You're like our enemies who's trying to expose me." Khalid ibn al-Walid was fighting one time, and he was, you know, he was astonished at one of the fighters. And after the battle, when it got left, when the swinging of the swords and the arrows and spears became less and less towards the end of the battle, he went to that person. You know who that person turned out to be? A woman. No one knew she was a woman. Had they known it was a woman, you know, they wouldn't have let her go. But she was a woman fighting as strong as can be, showing you that they did not fight for the sake of showing off to other people. The last one I wanted to show you off, to show you examples of, is knowledge, al-ilm. Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah says, "I wish I had enough, I wish I could spread my knowledge." Go ahead. Well, they did. Women played a role in a lot of the battles. You know, the woman's role was in the Prophet's life was to nurse the men. They nursed the men. And when they nursed the men, their job as well was to finish the men off. You know, there's a guy mourning over there dying. Their job was to also finish him off. Khalid ibn al-Walid, in a famous battle, very famous battle, he put the woman, in fact I think it's al-Yarmouk, he put the woman behind the men to make sure they don't run away. So they participated. However, should they mingle with the men, of course if it's going to cause mingling and fitna, that's haram. But overall, there's nothing that prohibits the woman from contributing in fighting with the Muslims. Okay, Shafi'i rahimahullah, go ahead. What is it?
I don't know what it was, but
Yes, she didn't contribute in the battle, but she accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that battle you're talking about. That was Aisha radiallahu anha. Okay, you got jihad now. This is, we didn't take it last week, and you got now examples of knowledge, how they were sincere and worried that showing off in knowledge. Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah says, "I wish," you know Shafi'i, how many times we say Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, Shafi'i rahimahullah, the great knowledge, great knowledgeable person, until the judgment day you're going to find people saying Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. This giant says, "It was my wish to spread all my knowledge and erase my name. It was my wish to spread my knowledge and erase my name." This shows you, you know when I read this the first time, many years ago, and it was the internet coming out, and I was wondering, you know, some people go on the internet with screen names, fake names, and give da'wah. And no one knows who's behind that name. I said the wording of a Shafi'i applies in such a setting. No one knows who you are. This is true sincerity. You're taking out your time. It's probably not all that amusing giving da'wah and answering questions and taking time out. No one knows who's behind that name. No one knows except Allah. The wording of a Shafi'i applies, shows you how sincere one is. Could be a woman, could be a man behind the monitor, spreading da'wah for the sake of Allah. This is how sincere the great, knowledgeable people were. Al-Mawardi rahimahullah, a scholar, wrote, I wouldn't say tens, but rather hundreds of books. Al-Mawardi rahimahullah wrote hundreds of books. On his deathbed, he gathered all his books in a room. And he said, "No one touched my book until I died. When I die," he told his famous student, "if I squeeze your hand, that means I've seen something evil, and all my sincere work, all my sincerity is not really right." That's how much he doubted himself. He said, "If I don't squeeze your hand, that means you can spread that word, and inshallah, Allah will guide with it." is worth it among, I mean, a lot of the tafsir. If you want some of the unique tafsirs of the Quran and some issues in politics, and Istiyat al-Shar'iyya has a book on it, it's all al-Mawardi. He said, the student said, I stood there, and he put his hand over my hand, and I was waiting for him to squeeze. And squeeze, just before he died, he smiled and didn't squeeze, said, La ilaha illallah, did not squeeze on his, on my hand. I knew that this man was sincere, and it was okay. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. It was okay to publish his books. Al-Mawardi. You know this. You know this wording by this scholar. The next one is terrorizing to me. Wallahi, not only by this scholar, but by the commentator on the scholar. Hisham al-Dastawa'i is a very famous scholar. This famous scholar Hisham al-Dastawa'i says, "I can never say this scholar is just after the time of the Tabi'in. However, a giant, just because we don't have some of these scholars' names because we're not very into depth into knowledge, this is a giant, a scholar." He said, Hisham al-Dastawa'i, I can't say I ever went to study one time ever and say that was sincere for the sake of Allah. You know that? Look how much they doubted his sincerity. He said, I can never say I went to a halaqa and say, confidently say, this is for the sake of Allah. Al-Zahabi put this in Sir A'lam al-Nubala. He said, if Hisham al-Dastawa'i said that, I am even worse. Sir A'lam, you know, Zahabi, his books and his words are amazing. Wallahi al-Azim, without the works of Zahabi, I don't know where we'd be today. Is this man? First one says, I can't say he was sincere for the sake of Allah. The second one says, if Hisham said that, I'm worse than that. What are we going to say in the 20th century? We study, we go, we do for the sake of Islam, and Allahu A'lam is sincere or not. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimah, actually Ibn al-Qayyim, says, there was never a giant in Islam. Those giants, you know how many? Malik, Shafi'i, Ahmad, Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, all these scholars, how come these names stick out? When there was, at their time, it was knowledge that was going around. There was hundreds of scholars. How come these names stick out? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, I never seen a giant of Islam except he has something secret behind that success. You know what that secret thing behind that success? Praying at night, making dua at night, asking Allah to be sincere. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, when he used to have, when I have something like this, actually, yesterday, I wanted to talk about, the next hadith is about lying. Wallahi, I stayed all night, maybe, I don't want to say this, but I want to show you the example of Ibn Taymiyyah. Probably over 10 hours looking in books and trying to look at the hadith and go what's authentic, what's not, so you can prefer something good. You know what Ibn Taymiyyah used to do? He wasn't a failure like me. He'd sit at night and pray and pray and pray. Not even that. It's not teaching, it's easy. If you had a debate that's going to be recorded in history, Ibn al-Qayyim says, he put his head in the forehead and start making dua. Ya Allah, oh you teach Sulaiman, oh you taught Dawood, oh you teach me, oh you Allah, give me victory. That's what he sit and do all night long. In the morning, the people ask him, did you prepare? Did you prepare? Yeah, I prepared last night, studied a lot. He said, yeah, I prepared, I made dua for Allah. Sincerity. Sincerity was the most important aspect in these people's life. I give you one last example, let us move to this hadith. Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. That's another name you all know of. How come Al-Bukhari rahimahullah's name became so popular when we have other people who narrated so many hadith of his time? You know why? Al-Bukhari rahimahullah's students narrate that one time someone had, you know, if you have a long beard, a little tiny cloth or some little tiny thing that stuck to his beard. And when he was playing with his beard, Al-Bukhari seen him. That thing fell, and it fell in the masjid. There's two narrations to this, and actually probably happened two times. One of them says, his student says, I seen Al-Bukhari go slide his hand. You know what happened to me? I go up and take it. Everyone see that? Al-Bukhari took his hand, easy, and took it and hit it in his sleeve. And when everyone was gone, he took it out and put it in his pocket. In another narration of this hadith, or probably another circumstance about Al-Bukhari, he said he kept looking at it. And I was wondering, why is he looking at that little tiny thing in the masjid? Because you get ajr for cleaning the masjid. Little tiny thing. He said, I went outside I went outside, and he went outside. Then he made sure all the students left, and he came back inside. And he made sure no one was looking. He got up and picked it up and put little tiny things. By faith, it's nothing. But sincerity is important in a Muslim's life. So now you have examples on nearly every aspect of life. Examples we need to understand, know it. Second of all, apply it. We have to apply it. We don't teach the stuff. You know, we have to show some improvement. Especially in this area, manners in Islam, we have to show some kind of improvement in these manners. Okay. As you know, we're still in the talk about, we're still talking about manners. Could someone tell me any common thing between aqidah, belief, and between belief and manners? Those who come to the khutab, those who come to the khutab, I mentioned stuff about it. What's common? Yusuf. Sheikh Yusuf, how are you, Sheikh Yusuf? Jazakallah khair. What, do you remember what I said is common between aqidah? Why I'm telling you this? Allah said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ. This is a side note. If you want to take some side notes on this, okay. But Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Mercy to the universe. The goal of the Prophet is a mercy. The mercy of the Prophet ﷺ can happen without good manners. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I was sent to continue on and bring about all the good manners there is. You know, some people today, why I bring this, they take the aspects of aqidah and they leave out manners. You know? And you got the other and the opposite. You got some ignorant people in aqidah. Oh, you know, it's so nice to you. Brother, he's so nice and he invited me to his house and he's so, you know, hospitable. The other one has the right aqidah, but he's ill-mannered. And you know, both are a problem. Both are a problem. It's a deficiency. It's, I don't know what that mental illness is called, when it's split personality. That's the disease. That is the disease over here. You take aqidah and that's all you care about. And you leave the manners. Or you take the manners and you leave the aqidah. Both of these are wrong. And if you look in the Quran, you always find an aspect of aqidah and an aspect of manner. Can someone give me an example on that? Where's your mind, Yusuf? Okay. There's an aspect of aqidah and an aspect of ibadah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Look at الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ. Allah talks about the characteristics of the believers. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The mu'mins are successful. Who are these successful men? These mu'mins, who are they? الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. In your prayer, you're humble in here. You're humble to Allah. You cry for the sake of Allah. You show khushu' in your prayer. What is this? Manners or ibadah or aqidah? What is it? Aqidah, iman. Iman in Allah. You show your cry sincere for the sake of Allah. What's the one after? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. What is اللَّغْو? Vain talk, evil talk, bad talk, lies, everything that's excessive. One iman, one ibadah. Go on! وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. The next verse. Those who give charity for the sake of Allah. What is it? Iman in Allah. You gotta give. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Those who protect their, you know, manners. You don't lower your gaze. You don't use your private parts in something that's prohibited for you. One aqidah, one ibadah, consistent in the Quran, even more than that. Look at this. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Who knows this verse? Who knows it? Sa'id. What is it? فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Come on, guys. Huh? No, what's the verses? Read the verses. What is it, Yusuf? هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراؤون ويمنعون الماعون. فوين للمصلين. What is it? عبادة, عقيدة, إيمان. عبادة, عقيدة, إيمان. وإذا woe to those who pray. Who? The ones mindless in their prayer. This is عبادة, عقيدة, إيمان. Look at the verse after. الذين هم يراؤون ويمنعون الماعون. It's consistent in the Quran. They come side by side. One manner and one akhlaq. What does prayer have to do with those who show off, not only show off, and those who deprive others of things that belong to them? You know what al-ma'un is? Ibn Abbas said, what is al-ma'un? What did Ibn Abbas say? Ask to Muhammad. What is prayer? Allah's talking about prayer here. I say the iman belief. What is ma'un, a hammer that you give to your next door neighbor, have to do with it? Iman, aqidah, and manners consisted side by side. I also mentioned once, probably not here, but how Ibrahim alayhi salam used to always ask, رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ, O Allah, send a messenger from among them, يَتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ, recite the Qur'an to them. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, teach them. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, purify them for their good deeds. Look how the order is. رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا, send a messenger, يَتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ, recite Qur'an, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, teach them. And the last one is purify them. This is in the Quran. If you memorize the Quran, this is going to be one of the verses you always mess up. Always mess it up. Unless you know the following rule I'm going to tell you. Because it's mentioned 4 times in the Quran. You're going to flip them around, the order. Unless you know who's talking. When Ibrahim asked, this is mentioned 4 times in the Quran. 1, Ibrahim says it. 3, Allah said it. Allah replies, of course Allah says it, but one of them is on the words of Ibrahim. The other ones are replies from Allah directly. Ibrahim also always says, teach them and then purify them. So when you go to read the ones Allah says, if you don't know what you're talking about and who's saying it, you don't know what you're saying. You're going to mess them up. When Allah replies, He says, كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ. Every time Allah says it, Allah says, and how we sent to you a messenger from amongst you, you recite the verses of Allah, وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ, purify you of those evil manners, وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ, then teach you. So what's the difference here? Did anyone come out with a difference? Anyone come out with a difference? What's the difference? So am I talking for nothing? I see a lot of blank faces. Did everyone get it? Of everything, according to a lot of the Mufassirin, is of ill manners. Ill manners. So Allah always says manners before when He says it. Of course, all of it is important. We're not minimizing anything. But look how the order of Allah is. Allah puts the manners before the knowledge. Ibrahim alayhi salam puts the knowledge before the manners. Okay. And I also want you to know, nearly every single area of Iman in Islam has an aspect that wants to boost your good manners in. If you take prayer, I mean, keep this in mind. You boost your aqidah, you gotta boost your manners to the same level. You can't keep boosting in your levels over here in manners. You gotta boost one, get the other one to the same level. Prayer. Allah said about prayer, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ. Prayer! You're praying to Allah, you're just talking to Allah. Allah says that act in itself is a deterrent from all evil acts. فَحْشَاء, مُنْكَر, worse, the extreme of evil acts. If you look at zakat, Allah said about it, what did He say about it in the Quran? What did He say about it? Yusuf, please Yusuf. خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وتزكيهم. You're paying charity. تطهرهم, purify them eternally, ويزكيهم, teach them the right manners, teach them to be generous. Hajj. You go to Hajj. If Hajj is not an institute to teach you the good manners, there's nothing in this world going to teach you good manners. You're going to meet people from every single country. People going to shove you. You're wearing all this nice ihram and you can't take a shower for a week probably. You want to listen, huh? And then some guy with sweat dripping all over him comes and rubs on you right next to the Kaaba, and you're looking over there. You can't take a shower for another week. You're going to stuck with that smell for another 7 days. If you're hot tempered, you're going to go and start a fight over there. Or you go throwing the stones on the devil, and you got a group. It's supposed to be a one way. People go on the bridge one way. You got a group going one way, and all they're coming one way. And you're in the middle. And they go in groups. If you're not with a group, you're probably going to be under their feet. Or you got people stoning the devil, and you're up in the front, they're going to start hitting you on your back. Your ill manner is going to go back. Hey, where's the guy that did that? You know, I was telling people, ignorant people, idiots actually, that I was telling them, you know, you have to be patient in Hajj. They were going to Hajj. And you gotta go and be nice to people and be patient. And I stress this issue. What I'm talking to you about? Yeah. Okay. Well, go on. Let's teach us about. I'm telling them. When they came back, they told me, "Wallahi, now we know why you stress that issue so much. You're gonna fight everyone. You're hot tempered. You're gonna start. I personally know it very well. You're hot tempered. You're gonna unless you suppress your anger. Why? Why did Allah do this? Allah could have said, you know, Hajj. You guys are from Palestine. Come in November. You guys are from Jordan, come in December, come in October. Allah wanted it all in one. The manner of Islam to get along. So anything, you don't know, you can't come back a month and say no, or you want to start a cluster, nothing. So you have no more nerve to act up on anyone. So this is some of the important things about Islam. You have to, not only that, the Prophet said, أَكْمَلُكُمْ إِمَانًا أَكْمَلُكُمْ أَحْسَنُكُمْ the most beloved, the most, you know, the best amongst you. All of these hadith, أحسنكم, أكملكم, أحبكم إليه, are the ones with good manners. In the Prophet ﷺ said, in a unique hadith, the heaviest thing to come on the judgment day is good manners. I would say, if it was up to me, I'd say, oh, it'd be my prayer or my fasting. No, the good manners. So you have to take them side by side. You know, there's some people who defame some da'wahs out there with ill manners. They have no manners. And they think their aqidah is on us to carry them on, you know, in this way. And there is a turn. Wallahi, there was a story, you know, of a brother, defamed, he doesn't want his wife to wear a niqab, a face veil. And, you know, some scholars said, you must, some said, you know, the authentic opinion, as I discussed here many times, is that a woman should wear a... One man went to this man. Oh, you don't want your wife to wear a face veil? He said, get the heck out of my face. I don't want my wife to wear a face veil. The approach was wrong. Another one went to that same person. Wallahi al-azim, in 2 minutes. That man was arguing with him for hours. In two minutes, has that man convinced, yes, I have to have my wife. You know, ill manners. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, speak to people on a level they understand. أَتُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يُكَذَّبَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ Speak to people in a manner they understand. In the level they understand. You can't go to, like someone. You have a group, and he's out there. We're talking about Palestine. The hard issue. They're being bombarded, annihilated, killed, raped, tortured. The big, I think it goes in history. Palestine in its entirety was occupied by the Jews. And we're talking about that. He said, brothers, you guys deserve this because you have no beard. You know? You know that's like saying what? Yeah, I agree with them. You know, I don't minimize it. I think it's fun. But you have to choose how you talk. You gotta learn the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's like going in the ocean. You're on a boat in the ocean. You see someone drowning. He needs help! 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 Get me out of there! Tell him, you know what? I'll help you, but I don't like your haircut. You're not. You know, your hair is messed up. Fix your hair, and then I'll help you out of it. Pull the guy out of there. And then tell the brother, we need to do the Qur'an, the Sunnah. And they're going to understand that. This is the problem when we don't know the understanding of the manners of Islam. That's why it's so important. Let us take today's hadith, narrated by Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. 3 signs of a hypocrite. What's the first sign, Saeed? We just scribbled.
When he speaks, he lies.
Okay, these are signs of a hypocrite. And what I want... Yes, okay. That these are signs of a hypocrite. What it means that these are signs of a hypocrite, it means one of 3 things. The first thing is that you say he's a hypocrite, exaggeration. This person is not really a hypocrite. One who speaks, even if he does it excessively. He's not a hypocrite that goes out of Islam. He's a hypocrite in that he has, if you say he's a hypocrite, you could say it's not good out of the wisdom, as we're talking about manners, not good to go to tell people who lie, you're a hypocrite. Maybe help them with their problem. However, he is considered a hypocrite, but not the hypocrite that takes you out of Islam. Why we call him a hypocrite? Exaggeration. This is the first opinion. The second opinion is that these, and this was an opinion by some of the Sahaba, these are characteristics of people known during the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam time, and these people had this characteristic. So it's not for everyone, it's for certain people who had this characteristic. The third opinion is that these characteristics lead to one being a hypocrite. You keep doing these characteristics and they lead you to being a hypocrite. The first opinion, I wasn't able to find out who said it. The second one is by some of the Sahaba. The third one is by a vast majority of the scholars. So the first one is, we call him a hypocrite in exaggeration. It's exaggerated. He's not really a hypocrite, but it's a form of exaggeration that the Prophet ﷺ used. The second one is that these are characteristics of people who were known during the Prophet ﷺ time who had this. The third one is that this is a path that leads to one being a hypocrite. Okay, we only want to talk about the first one. And probably, inshallah, today be enough to talk about it. When he speaks, he lies. Hypocrite. When he speaks, he lies. Truth. Truth in Islam is very important. Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. All you who believe in us. First of all, if you're taking notes, I'm giving you an introduction. The first thing we did was show you what this hadith means. What it means by these characteristics being a hypocrite. That's the first heading. How these are hypocrites. I gave you three opinions on that. Okay, the second is the introduction to being truthful versus lying. Allah said in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. All you who believe in Allah, fear Allah, and you should be feared, and be amongst those who are say the truth. صادقين, those who say the truth. Okay, if you look at every messenger of Allah, the most important characteristic of every messenger of Allah is being truthful. Every messenger of Allah has to be truthful. Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. Allah says, and remember in the book Ibrahim, he was a صِدِّيقًا. صِدِّيقًا means is an exaggerated form of saying he's a truthful man. Meaning he's very truthful, almost truthful. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِدْرِيسِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ. صادق, truthful. Ibrahim, Ismail, Idris, all the messengers of Allah, truthfulness has to be a characteristic in them. Like our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 4 years he lived, no one caught a small lie on him, small lie. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name, his character of being truthful, was at a time in his life more popular than his name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The truthful, As-Sadiq al-Amin, became his label. They say Sadiq al-Amin instead of saying Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To the point where he gathers everyone, you know, when Allah revealed the messenger to him, a message to him, and he gets up on a safa. It's small mountain, small hilltop actually. He says, imagine if there's a mountain, if there's a caravan coming behind me to attack you. This is impossible. You know why it's impossible? If I tell you there's a caravan behind me coming to attack you, if I see something, you don't see. What do they see? They can see behind the mountain. There's no one there. He said, we never tried anything false upon you ever. And then he says, he's trying to see, you know, what they're going to say. Never tried any falsity, no lies on you ever. So then they went on to say, he went on to say, I have a message, I'm a warner you from a severe day of the judgment day and hellfire in the judgment day. And what did Abu Lahab say? What did Abu Lahab say? Say the whole Quran. What is it? What did he say? What's his full sentence? Tabban lak alihada jama'atana. He's tabban mitfuh on you. Is this why you gathered us here? Is this why? You know what? Look at the story in depth. He said, he spit on him. Is this why you gathered us here? He didn't say. His first instinct was, you stupid liar. Did he say that? He didn't say that. Because they couldn't say he's a liar. They couldn't say. It had to take later on conspiracy and evil hearts to go and make up this thing. And even later on, a lot of Quraysh said this would never work on this man. And the most amazing thing about the trustworthiness of the Prophet Muhammad is when he walked in the Kaaba, and they have the black stone over there, and they're disputing. And this is months before the Prophet's revelation came down. Just months to show the world. He never lied before. Is he going to lie now? They all said, this is him. The trustworthy, the honest, the trustworthy has come in. Let him judge who put the black stone.
فإنهم
لا يكذبونك ولكن الظالمين بآيات الله يجحدون. They can't call you disbeliever. There's a verse that supports what Abu Lahab did. He couldn't say you're a liar. Okay. Ibn Mas'ud الله عنه used to, when he said the hadith, he used to say a word, الصادق المصدوق. حدثني الصادق المصدوق. You know, the utmost trustworthy. And you know what the hadith Ibn Mas'ud narrated? He said this ayatul hadith. If you tell me this hadith, I would disbelieve it back then. The hadith is about the creation of the baby in a woman's stomach 14 centuries ago. The details of it, if you tell me that back then, I'm saying, what are you talking? How did he know this stuff? Now, it's easy to believe it. But Ibn Mas'ud said, the utmost trustworthy. الصادق المصدوق. And also among the attributes of Allah is He describes Himself as the utmost, extremely, 100% says the truth. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa la yajma'annakum ila yawm al-qiyamati la raybati. Allah, the one and only one, shall gather you for the judgment day. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who is more trustworthy than Allah? Meaning the peak of being trustworthy is Allah. Another verse similar to this, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. The utmost trustworthy. Okay, an upside issue, you could write it down, is there's things that are taken out of the origin word of truth. The origin of it is that. What's a friend in Arabic? What's a friend in Arabic? Sadiq. Not Rafiq. Only Pakistanis say Rafiq. You guys say Rafiq too? Huh? Sadiq is it. Why is the origin of Siddiq used in Sadiq? Same origin. Why? 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 To be trustworthy to you. To be trustworthy to you. Another issue is Sadaqah. Charity. The same root word. Why? Because Sadaqah is one of the most important things that shows, physical thing that you could do, that shows your truthful in your belief to Allah. It's very hard for someone to say, give sadaqah. Very hard. Unless you're a strong iman. So sadaqah is the physical showing that this physical thing you're doing shows that you have the true iman in your heart. The next point, Maq'adi Sidq is a position in heaven, but I don't know if they have anything to do of with being truthful. I mean, do you know of anything? Yes, Sidq is the same word. Yes, same word. The literal meaning of it means a truthful position saved for the true believers. Okay, from among the signs of the judgment day is being a lot of lies going on. Why is the end of this world one of its signs? Is a lot of lies going on. I'll tell you what. Allah, when He created the sky and the earth, He said, we created them in truth. وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. We created the sky and the earth in truth, and what's in between them? In truth. So what's going to destroy the truth? Lies. So when lies become so widespread, this is the sign of the judgment day, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says. Why is, next point, I told you Sidq, Sadiq, and Sadaqah. Then I told you, this is all introduction. Then I told you why it's among the signs of the judgment day. And the next point, this is all under the introduction. The next point is why is, as we're going to see in the next hadith, we're not getting into the hadith yet, why is being truthful, why is being a liar a key to all the sins? Why? I give you this in an example. I give it to you and you understand it in an example. Lying is the key to evil. Saying the truth is the key to goodness. Why is it the key? I just give you one example, practical example you can understand. Someone who did something wrong. A girl today who is dating. Okay? And she goes back 1 o'clock at night. And her father says, where were you? What's she going to say? At a friend's house. Lie. Let her say the truth. Let the guy say the truth. Guys who stay at night, whatever they're doing at night in evil. Say the truth. Your truth is going to stop you from that evil. You go around. Where were you? You're not going to publicize your sin to your close ones. You're going to make a lie. Right, Iskandar? Right. Okay. Allah said in the Quran, the next point is lie takes you to being a hypocrite. Allah said, لِيَجْزِيَ الصَّادِقِينَ. What's contrary to truth? What's contrary to truth? Huh? Kadhib. So Allah is supposed to say, لِيَجْزِيَ الصَّادِقِينَ بِصِدْقِينَ. Give the truthful people, those who said the truth, the reward for saying the truth. The second part of the verse is supposed to say, and give those liars the punishment they deserve for the lie. But that's not how the verse goes. لِيَجْزِيَ الصَّادِقِينَ بِصِدْقِهِمْ. Who knows the second part of the verse? وَيُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. Munafiqeen. Why did he mention a munafiq as opposing to a truth person? It's not right. The Quran is balanced. But he did it to show you that man who's a liar is not a liar. He's a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite. وَيُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ إِنْ شَاءَ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. This is not the kind of nifaq that's out, that takes out of time. This is the minor nifaq. The minor nifaq, the one that is characteristic of a nifaq, munafiq.
What is the harm?
The verse goes, Allah will reward the truth for their truthfulness and will punish the hypocrite if he wishes. It's not supposed to say that. It's supposed to say Allah rewards the truth for the truthfulness and punishes the liars for lying. But Allah wanted to say that excessive liar is not a liar, he's considered a hypocrite. That's how detailed the Quran is. Okay, the next point in the introduction is the effect of lying on yourself in the judgment day. You could go and name the A, B, C, D or whatever you're going to do. The first one, A, is the verse of Allah. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ تَرَى الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ وُجُوهُهُمْ مُسْوَدَّ. On the judgment day, you see those who lied on Allah, their faces black. On the judgment day, you see those who lied upon Allah, their faces are black. The B, قال الله هذا يوم ينفع الصادقين صدقهم. Allah said, this day is the day that those who are trustworthy, those who say the truth is going to help them today. قال الله هذا يوم ينفع الصادقين صدقهم. Allah said, today is the day where those who said the truth, the truth is going to help them today. The C, also on the judgment day, same verse we mentioned. Take another aspect of it. لِيَسْأَلَ الصَّادِقِينَ عَنْ صِدْقِهِمْ. On the judgment day, Allah says, what did I just tell you this verse means? Latif, you asked me about it. What does it mean? لِيَسْأَلَ الصَّادِقِينَ عَنْ صِدْقِهِمْ. The one you asked, Latif.
Oh, Allah was the truth.
Okay. لِيَسْأَلَ. The verse goes, لِيَسْأَلَ. This says, to ask those who say the truth about the truth they said. Look at it. Look at this unique verse. Pay attention. لِيَسْأَلَ الصَّادِقِينَ عَنْ صِدْقِهِمْ. To ask those who say the truth about the truth. I'm meaning what? On the day when you're going to stand before Allah, you said all the good truthful things, Allah got to question you about it. Everything you said. What's terrorizing about this verse? If Allah is going to question the truthful, about the truthfulness, what's the problem going to be with that liar when he asks that liar about his life? If Allah is going to stand you before him, every tiny little truthful thing you say, Allah wants you to run your imagination, run it wild. If they're going to be asked, you know, imagine, you got a boss, your boss, or your professor, stay after class, ask you something. Your boss sends you something, you shake. You probably didn't do nothing. Allah is going to ask the people of truthfulness about the truth they said. Imagine how terrorizing it is for that liar who said lies. Who knows the next point? Who knows why Ibrahim alayhi salam is deprived of the big shafa'ah?
Because
what are they? Did he lie? You call Ibrahim a liar?
No. They're small
lies. You're worse than him, Latif. Appear to be lies, okay. Alright, what are they? You know, the scenery over here, if you want to write it down, everyone's gathered in the judgment day, terrorized, completely terrorized. They don't know what's happening. Running from one area to another, they have no guidance, there's no streets, there's no mountains. They were here, they run, shaken out of fear, complete, our most terrorized moment. And what happens at that moment? They go to the messenger, starting from Adam all the way up to. Everyone mentions something. That he, this shafa'ah, all they want is one thing. Get it over with. That's what they're trying to say. Oh Allah, we want to get it over. Let's start the hisab. That's all the shafa'ah is all about. So they go, Adam, excuse me, I can't do it. They go to the next one. Next one, everyone mentioned, minor mistake. They're not really mistake, minor mistake. So they get to Ibrahim alayhi salam. When they get to Ibrahim alayhi salam, he can't give the shafa'ah. Why? Because as the Yusuf said, there's what appears to be lies. That he said during his lifetime, number one,
when he broke the idols,
when he broke all the idols, what did he say? He wanted to do da'wah in his unique way. So, he seen all the statues, and the big statue. He went in, when they went out, they had a party ceremony out of town. When no one was in town, he went, hided in their place of worship, and broke all the small statues, and then hung the sword in the big one's neck. And when he put it in the neck, they found out, this is the only one been talking about our Lord. It's Ibrahim, bring him, summon him over. You got caught, you got to ask you, what did you do? He said, بَلْ فَعَلَهُ. He put the sword in the neck of the big one, to make him think, could this statue ever break these little ones? Impossible, get them to use their mind. So they asked him, who did it, Ibrahim? He said, بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ. The big one over here. What did Ibrahim mean when he said that? No. He meant in his heart, his hand. My hand, he's pointing to his hand. My hand is the hand, and in fact, if you look at the tafsir of it, كَبِيرُهُمْ, meaning my biggest fingers are the ones that helped me the most in breaking them. But they meant, took it to mean the big statue killed us. He took it to mean the truth. My hand is the one who did it. The second one. Exactly. There's an oppressive leader in Egypt. Every time there's an Fir'aun, this is an oppressive leader. Every time he sees a nice girl, he takes her. So, unless she's with a close relative, like a brother. So if she's the wife of Ibrahim, he's going to take her. So when he got there, the people asked him, who is this? What did he say? Sister. Did he lie when he said she's my sister? Sister. Your wife is your sister in Islam. Your wife is your sister in Islam. It doesn't mean that just because you married, she's no longer your sister in Islam. She's your sister in Islam. That's what he meant. And the next one?
And he said, oh, that's my Lord today, and that's my Lord today. And then when the sun rose, he was like, oh, that's the biggest one, but I'm my Lord.
Exactly. He said he was lying about the, or what appeared to be lying, the moon and the stars. And he would say, هذا ربي, this is my Lord. Because they worship these as well. So when they see the moon, he says, oh, that's my Lord. But he didn't mean the moon. They thought he meant the moon. He meant Allah is my Lord. So this is what deprives them of the shafa'ah. The last aspect on this introduction is the ones who lie in this life are liars in the life after. It's a habit that's going to continue with you on the judgment day. ثُمَّ لَمْ تَكُنْ فِتْنَتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا وَاللَّهِ رَبِّنَا مَا كُنَّا مُشْرِكِينَ. Look how evil the liars are on the judgment day. Everything is going to be judged. This guy is bad, has his sin. You know what the reply of the sinful people is? Allah said in the Quran, Wallahi! Liars! There's a lot! Wallahi! Like you see, liars say, Wallahi! He's a polytheist. He's an idol worshipper. And we got his books, we got the angels as witness, we got his acts in front of him running like a video. He's telling them, Wallahi, Ya Rabb, I was in a polytheist. All this evidence, oh, Allah, the angels, the book. Wallahi Rabbina ma kunna mushrikeen. Wallahi Rabbina, sound familiar to some of you? Wallahi Rabbina ma kunna mushrikeen. Allah says in the second verse, انظر كيف كذبوا على أنفسهم. Look what kind of liars these are who lie upon themselves. Who are they trying to fool? They're trying to fool Allah. Allah is the one who created him. And more than that, is when Allah, similar to this, is when you question before Allah on the judgment day, you start lying. Wallah, I didn't touch. Wallah, I didn't look with my eyes. Wallah. اليوم نختم على أفواههم. We shut them out. Because they're liars. They're liars. Then your bypass become to talk about them. يوم تشهد عليهم ألسنتهم وأيديهم وأرجلهم بما كانوا يعملون. Another verse where it says, their hands, their feet, وأيديهم وأرجلهم, their witness against them for that which they've done. Not only the hands and the feet, any body part you've done, and you try to lie to Allah on the judgment day. In fact, the hadith says, the man's going to ask his hands, his eyes, why are you telling Allah when I did this to save you? He said, the one who made your mouth talk is the one who made us talk. So lying is a habit, you're going to see it on the judgment day. And it's only going to make your problem worse. Okay. I did. Okay, let's take some of the hadith about lying. This is another category. Everything earlier was introduction. Some of the hadith on lying. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith narrated by Ibn Mas'ud. I'm going to say in Arabic because some people want to write in Arabic. Inna as-sidqa yahdi ila al-birr. وَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَمَا زَالَ الرَّجُلُ وَمَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَصْدُقُ وَيَتَحَرَّ الصِّدْقُ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ صِدِّيقًا وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْكَذِبُ فَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ ولا يزال الرجل يكذب ويتحرى الكذب حتى يكتب عند الله كذابا. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, truthfulness guides you to birr. Birr is a name of all the good things, a general name of good things in this life and in the life after. Truthfulness leads to birr. Birr leads you where? Where lands you? Where does birr land you guys? Jannah. And the Prophet ﷺ says, truthfulness leads you to birr. Birr lands you in Jannah. One of you continues to say the truth and be truthful until he is written in Allah's book that he's truthful. Truthfulness takes you to birr. Birr lands you in heaven. One of you continues to say the truth until he is written in Allah's book as a truthful person. And the opposite now, the second part of the hadith. Watch out for lying, because lying takes you to fujur. Fujur is the opposite of birr. What's fujur, guys? If the fujur is the opposite of birr, what's fujur? A common name for all evil things, fujur. Takes you, lying takes you to fujur. Fujur lands you in hellfire. And one of you lies and continues to lie until he's written in Allah's book as a liar. Just imagine that hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says, you come on the judgment day to Allah and your record, you know, you got a ticket. Yusuf got a ticket a few days ago. What they gonna do? Usually, what they do, you got a clean record. The most they do is maybe make you pay a certain fine and not give you no points, because you have a clean record. They want to compensate you. Had Yusuf had a bad record in his record, his speeding record, you know what they're going to do to him? Oh, look at this. He's going to say, give me a break. No, I'm not going to give you a break. And this is just a small record. Imagine you come on the judgment day and your record is a liar. If you tell me someone is a liar in this life, that's like a black barrier between me and him. The worst thing. Imagine you come on the judgment day, your record in Allah's eyes is a liar. Or the opposite. It's going to be a truthful person. And look how uniquely the hadith is worded. Yahdi. Yahdi. Lying guides you to fujur. Look, this proves what we're talking about earlier. Lying guides you to fujur. Truthfulness guides you to birr. You know what guides you? Yahdi. It's as though lion takes you by the hand and walks you. You lie, takes you and walks you to all evil things. In the opposite, truthfulness takes you to all birr. And birr lands you in heaven, and fujur lands you in hell for you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith, write fast please, so we can move on. Four characteristics, if they are, I'm going to say in English first, then in Arabic, four characteristics, if they are in a person, he's a munafiq. And if one of them is in a person, he has an aspect or characteristic of nifaq. Four things. If they are in a Muslim, if they are in a person, he's a pure munafiq. If one of them is in this person, he only has a character of nifaq. The first one, when he is entrusted, he betrays. Entrusted, he betrays. When he speaks, what does he do? He lies. Number three, when he makes a covenant, what does he do? Breaks it, proves to be treacherous. Whenever he quarrels, he behaves in an evil way. This hadith is in Bukhari Muslim. أَرْبَعٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ كان منافقا خالصا ومن كانت فيه خصلة منهن كانت فيه خصلة من النفاق حتى يدعها إذا اؤتمن خان وإذا حدث كذب وإذا عاهد غدر وإذا خاصم فجر. The next hadith, there's so many, I'm going to cut it short, but I'm going to give you a next hadith. كل خصلة يطبع عليها المسلم إلا الخيانة والكذب. Every single aspect a Muslim could have in him, except deceiving and lying. Every aspect a Muslim could have. This hadith says, a lie, you can't imagine it. Can't imagine a Muslim lying. In another hadith, except deceiving and lying, khiyana wal kazib. The next hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, does a Muslim become a coward? What did he say? Yes. Could a Muslim be a coward? The Muslims are not cowards, but could be in this ummah very few who are cowards. What did he say? What did he say, Iskandar? He said, yes. Could a Muslim be cheap? Yes. Could a Muslim lie? No. No. He could be cheap. He could be a coward, but lying is not a trait of a Muslim. We can't think of a Muslim that lies.
Follow is not a trait
No, none of these make a Muslim a kafir. But the hadith, we're going to go on more hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says he's not a believer, one who lies. These hadith don't mean he's a kafir. These mean that he does not get the full iman that other people get. In an iman, it's levels. There's 100%, there's 50, he doesn't get that full level. Lying in itself, as bad as it may be, could never take one to be a kafir. Okay. What are the kinds of truthfulness that we have? Being truthful. This is another category. There's three kind of truth being three kinds of ways of being truthful. And the first category of being truthful is being truthful in your niyyah. Who knows how being truthful in your niyyah is? Yusuf. Huh? That's the peak of being truthful. Being sincere to Allah. You want to add anything?
No, I was going to say that I didn't support the issue of Riyah. Maintaining the sentence correct and telling only doing it for Allah.
Okay. Being truthful in your niyyah means your niyyah has to be completely for the sake of Allah. If it's for the sake of anyone else, like the brother said, it's going to be riya. Okay, also in this category is the things you do. Being truthful in your niyyah is making things you do for the sake of Allah. Like you got to study. You got a whole 10 days of finals and you want to study. Why don't you make those 10 days of finals worship? How do you do that? First of all, maybe your parents want you to go to school. You say, Wallah, Allah, in your heart, and you truthfully put it in your heart, I'm studying because my parents told me I have to be this, and oh Allah, I want the ajr of what? Studying or what?
Obeying
your parents. Okay. Or, I want to study so I can serve this ummah in the future. You change your niyyah to be a sincere, truthful niyyah, so you won't have any lies in it. Rich. I want to be rich. That's great. However, rich is being neutral in Islam. You don't get things for being rich unless you spend it in prohibited ways. But why not make that niyyah truthful? Allah, I want to make it rich so I can build a masjid, so I can spend for the sake of Allah, I can help the brothers overseas. You make your niyyah truthful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من طلب الشهادة بصدق بلغه الله منازل الشهداء ولو. Who knows the continuation of the hadith? مات على فراشه. صلى الله عليه وسلم was so generous, he said, whomever asks Allah and really wants, Oh Allah, I want to be a martyr. The best way you can die, the best thing you can do. Ibn Taymiyyah said the best thing. One could become a martyr and get the ajr of the martyr and be sent on the judgment day with the martyr, if he dies on his bed at home, in the comfort, in the heat and air condition of his house. How? If he is truthful, oh Allah, if I had the opportunity. Oh Allah, if I had the wealth.
But it's not the same
as if he died in the battle. Yes, it is. Because this man, who's truthful, if he's sincere, and he has the opportunity, there's nothing going to stop him. But he's a liar, the one who says, oh, I wish I could go, and there's many ways for him to go. That's a different story. That guy's not right. But one who's dying really to go, and maybe he's crippled, maybe he doesn't have the wealth to go, maybe he doesn't know how to go, and he's truthful in that, the Prophet said, he's going to get the ajr of Allah, even if he dies on his deathbed. The next one, being truthful, is being truthful in your actions. Allah said in the Quran, وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَدْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ صِدْقٍ وَأَخْرِجْنِي مُخْرَجَ صِدْقٍ. Oh Allah, give me the entrance of truthfulness and the exit of truthfulness. This means in every aspect of my life. In every aspect of my life, I want to be truthful. So we're talking here. The second one is being truthful in your actions. I give you many examples, you probably know them. Umayr ibn al-Himam in the battle, what battle? You don't fight the notes. Badr. What did he do? Do you remember? In Sirah? The Prophet ﷺ said, get up to a garden of heaven bigger than the sky and the earth. And he said, a garden of heaven bigger than the sky and the earth. How do we get that? He said, just get killed by these people. If you fight until you die by this. He took his dates and he threw them, and back. I can't. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him. Why you say bakhin bak? He said it's a long life. If I wait until I eat these dates. When he died and they seen his body, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what is it? Why did we bring the story? You don't have to look it up. He was truthful with Allah, so Allah was truthful with him. You'd be truthful with Allah. He wanted to die a martyr. Allah gave him that which he wished. In Khaybar, another story. In Khaybar, the Prophet ﷺ was passing out the wealth. They had so much wealth after Khaybar, and the Prophet ﷺ was given so much. A Bedouin comes and they tell him, here's your wealth. Lot of gold and silver and stuff that some of the Sahaba couldn't even get up when the Prophet ﷺ was giving them. He said, take as much gold as you want. They couldn't even get up. They put so much on their back and their chest that they couldn't get up. So they told him, all this is for you. He said, this is for me. And he goes in a rage at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mad. Why? Said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is for me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. He said, O Prophet of Allah, this is not what I became a Muslim for. Prophet looked at him. Why did you become a Muslim? He said, in narration of the hadith, so I can get an arrow over here for the sake of Allah. In another one, he said, so I can get an arrow here for the sake of Allah. The hadith goes on to say, the following battle after that, the Prophet ﷺ seen him dead when he was overlooking the Sahaba. And he said his famous quote, Ahuwa, huwa? Is he that man over there? The one who told me, you want it? The narrator of the hadith said, Wallahi, that same place the arrow was in is where he pointed. The Prophet ﷺ said, Sadaq Allah, fa sadaq Allah. Truthful with Allah, Allah was truthful with him. Abdullah ibn Jahsh, who knows the story? Abdullah ibn Jahsh, your grandfather's, what did he do? How did he say it? Not someone else. But Abdullah ibn Jahsh, in the battle of Badr, Uhud, said his famous dua, O Allah, let me meet a kafir. Strong, big kafir. Him and Sa'd were making. It's a long story. Him and Sa'd made a long dua. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. So he said, Abdullah ibn Jahsh said, O Allah, let me meet a big kafir so I can kill him. Get other for killing a big kafir. O Allah, let me meet another big kafir in the battlefield so I can kill him. And then he said, O Allah, let me meet a big kafir in the battlefield so he can kill me. Not only that, he said, so he can chop my nose off. Look at this. Cut my ears off. And open my stomach. And then I will stand before you, O Allah, on the judgment day, and you tell me, Abdullah, why are you looking like this? Because you know the martyrs come exactly the way they were. They died in. The blood coming out of them, the smell as beautiful as musk, and the color, a sparkling red color. Okay. He said, and then you ask me, Allah, why did this happen to you? I tell you, oh Allah, it happened for your sake and only your sake, and then you'll forgive me. Look what he has to go through. We think heaven is easy. This man has to go through his ears getting killed, his ears getting cut off, his nose shot, and his stomach. And look at that. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas said, we passed by him after the battlefield, and we looked. His stomach was open, cut open. His ears were cut off. His nose was snatched off. And right next to him was two big kafir. He said, Allah gave him what he wanted in this life because he was truthful. Inshallah, he's going to get that second part. What's the second part? Allah gonna stand him on the judgment day, say, Abdullah, why are you looking like this? You say, oh Allah, for you? Why? Why did this happen? If you're truthful with Allah, Allah is gonna be truthful with you. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, what was his famous dua that he always said? Yusuf, what is it? You remember? Any of you remember? Make me Shaheed in Medina. This dua, Umar is saying, Allah, make me Shaheed in Medina. There's no battles in Medina. What are you talking about, Umar? This is the time of Umar where they nearly controlled the whole Arabian Peninsula. If you want to become a martyr in Medina, it's can't have the Sahabis to mock him for this dua. However, when you're truthful with Allah, and keep this in mind, wallahi al-azim, there's nothing going to stand in front of you. When you're truthful with Allah, but you got to be truthful. This heart got to be truthful. Truthfulness is not only saying the truth. The heart got to be truthful. How did he die? He died in Medina. He died in Medina. Someone came while he's free and killed him in the middle of Medina, in the rawda of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? The key word, truth. Truth with Allah. Allah is going to give you that which you desire. Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi. What did he say about smiling? What did he say about smiling? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. You're right. No, you're right. He said, they asked him, why don't you smile? He always had a frown on his face. Why don't you smile, Salah al-Din? Inshallah, you're going to be like that, Eid, huh? Don't smile, man. Don't smile. That's the first failure. Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi, radiallahu anhu, was asked, why don't you smile? He said, I'm not going to smile until, how can I smile? And the ox is under the hands of the non-Muslim. He was truthful with Allah. Allah was truthful with him. He liberated Palestine, and he was only seen smiling on that day ever. That's the only day he was seen smiling. Why? He's truthful with Allah. The Siddiq. Why is Siddiq called the Siddiq? Why? Truthful. Truthful with Allah in everything. What's the level of those truthful like the ones we said, who's truthful with Allah in their actions? I gave you the first one, truthful with Allah with your heart. Second of all, truthful with Allah with your action. What's their level? What's their level? These are the best ones. After, وَمَنْ يُطَعَ اللَّهَ Whoever follows Allah, وَالرَّسُولِ And the Messenger of Allah. مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ With the Messenger. Who's after the Messengers? صدقي. You're truthful with Allah, you get to follow the Messenger. وَالشُّهَدَى If you're really, really truthful, you're going to be in front of the shuhada. مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَى وَالصَّالِحِينَ Look at the category. If you're truthful with Allah, you believe in Allah, you're going to be the Messenger with the Messenger. What's the Siddiqi? That's the one. And this is open to everyone. But the heart got to be clean. Okay. The third one is, what? Should we continue on for a few more minutes? You guys got bored? Tired? Okay. The third one is the core of our topic. Is being truthful in what is it? In what, guys? Come on. We talked about action. We talked about niyyah. What's left? The core. This isn't really, I'm talking about truthfulness. Huh? Your tongue. If you speak to life, we're talking about the general sense of truthfulness, and now we're in the third category, and a very important category, is truthfulness in your saying. Okay, this is important, and this is the topic of ours. So it's going to be under subheading. The first one is lying upon Allah. How could someone lie upon Allah? When we talk about lying, yes, shirk is one of them. When we talk about lying, we always think lying is me telling a friend a lie. Look how broad lying is going to be. You're going to find out today. First of all, lying on Allah is considered lying. Okay, how is that? Any falsehood you say upon Allah is a lie. The biggest one to lie amongst Allah is, of course, shirk and claiming you're a messenger of Allah or anything of that category. Another one, and a unique one. So lying upon Allah is like lying, saying some bad stuff about Allah, shirk, or claiming you're a messenger. And a unique one is, exactly, mashallah, how did you know, man? You take the exam next time, inshallah. Exactly, exactly, those who speak without knowledge. those ignorant heads who speak without knowledge lie a direct verse of Allah. What is it, Yusuf? Come on, you said the first half. That shows how big of a sin it is. You're right. That's one of the proof. But there's a direct proof that one who talks fatwa, halal and haram, is a lie. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُوا أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبَ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ. Leave those whose tongues are always saying lies. Are always saying lies. How are they saying lies? هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ. They say, oh, this is a verse. This is halal and this is haram. Are they really saying this is halal, this is haram? These are the ignorant people who speak without knowledge. If this is a problem in this ummah, this is a problem in this ummah, you know, you go to anyone and ask them about any problem. Go around and ask them, I got a problem with my engine. Come to us, stand outside and tell us, oh, I got a problem with my engine. I'm going to be the first one to say, go call the mechanic. And then Yusuf is going to say, go call the mechanic. Riyadh is going to say, go call the mechanic. But then you stop a whole masjid and say, brothers, I divorced my wife and I said it in this manner. Is this really a divorce or not? Then I'm going to say, oh, well, I think this is, you know, I think it's not a divorce. Don't worry, but go home. Then Sahib is going to come and say, yeah, it's not a divorce. Ariyah is going to come and say, no. This is the situation of the ummah. This is lying upon Allah. We tend to stop talking about knowledge, about areas we don't know. In this materialistic life. But in Islamic knowledge, we're all not sheikh, big mullahs. Big mullahs, all of us. Big imams, we think we're all there. Allah said, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُوا أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبُ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ. Not only are they liars, لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبُ. You make lies upon Allah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبُ. Those who make falsity, lies upon Allah, will never be successful. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ لَا يُفْلِحُونَ. This is Surah An-Nahl, verse 116. Okay, this is first one, you got a general idea how it is to lie about Allah. The second one would be what? We're all still under the tongue, lying upon the tongue. What would be the second one, guys? Sisters, brothers, who knows? What's the second one? Sahih Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah says, lying upon Allah and His Messenger is kufr that takes you out of Islam. Lying upon Allah and His Messenger is kufr that takes you out of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan." What is it, Yusuf? You know any other narration? That's a quote by Ibn al-Jawzi. Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, it's not a hadith. He said, and it's a true fact, and it's a unanimous fact, whomever lies upon Allah and His Messenger is the kafir, the kufr that takes you out of Islam. He made it clear. He said in Arabic, al-kadhib ala Allah wa rasulih kufran mukhrijan min al-millah. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, whomever lies upon me on purpose. And there's another narration of the hadith without the word on purpose. The Prophet ﷺ said, he has a place saved for him in hell for you. He has already a place saved for him in hell for you. This is one of the reasons why we have so many fabricated hadith. Why? Especially in the area, if you notice, if you look into hadith, the most area we have fabricated hadith in is huwa. What? Fadail al-A'mal. Meaning, if you say La ilaha illallah 100 times, you're going to get this in heaven. If you say Subhanallah this time, you're going to get this. Many of these, a lot of them, are fabricated. Why? Because people took this hadith and they said, you know, we're not lying against the Prophet, we're lying for him. We're lying for him. We're making people say more dhikr. But that's not true. Especially in the manner, if you stick to only the authentic hadith, it's enough to keep you busy in your whole life. So, you're not good. Like people come and tell us, you know, what's wrong with using a non-authentic hadith? I said, La ilaha illallah 100 times. No problem. No problem. But I tell you something. Use the authentic hadith. It's sufficient to keep you busy all your life. And by the way, the only area where it's disputed, only area where it's disputed, where you can use weak hadith, is this area. And I think, and the truth is, you can't even use it in this hadith area. Why? Because we don't need it. We don't need it. There's no need for it. But just to show you how it is, the only area authentic scholars of hadith disputed whether you can use a weak hadith or not is in the area of Fadail al-A'mal, because it really has no effect. I mean, if you say it or you don't, it really has no effect. Fadail al-A'mal is good deeds, like tasbih or zikr or prayer. The hadith, they have a certain reward with that combined to it. Okay, what would be the next one, guys? We talked about lying on the tongue. Tongue lying. Lying on Allah. Lying on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No. The believers and the Sahaba. And this, you break it down into subcategories as well. What's the worst thing you could tell your brother in lie? What is it, Yusuf? Kafir. Yusuf, please wake up, man. Okay, under lying to a believer, break it down into categories. The first category is telling your brother a kafir. What's the punishment of that lie? What's the punishment of that lie? What happened? You become a kafir. You become a kafir. If he's not really a kafir, there's a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whomever tells another kafir, it's got to fall on one of them. If that person you told him is a kafir, you're clear. You've seen a guy do kufr and you thought it was good to tell the people that he's a kafir, it fell upon him. If it's a lie, what did you do? Took you out of Islam. The second one would be accusing them. Yes. On the Quran? No, that in particular wouldn't take him. But if he says on my father's life, yes, he does have to say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. For example, he says on my father's life or on. Yes, he still has to say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. A Muslim clears his tongue. This is only a habit of the bad people that always say on my father's life, on my mother's, on my honor, on my wife, or something like that. This is all a bad habit that we should cleanse our tongue from. Okay, the second one is to accuse a Muslim of major sins. Like what? Liar. Calling someone adulterous. Like Yusuf said. Allah said in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَى. Those who accuse a chastised woman. And this applies to chastised man too. Same. وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَى. What happens? فَاجْلِدُوهُمْ 80 جَلْدًا. First thing, look how bad lying is. You whip them 80 times, lashes. وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا. You don't never accept his witness. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. And those are the ones who are astray. Three things for something, we probably in our setting talk about it. I seen him with this woman and I seen her with this man. Something you don't know, look what it does. 80 lashes. Never can his testimony be accepted. According to the best major scholars, never ever. Even if he shows good repentance. Some, you scholars say, if he truly repents and shows good character, maybe later on it could be accepted. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Those are the people who are astray. Look at another one. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Those who accuse, these are in Surah An-Nur, the beginning of Surah An-Nur, I'm not sure what verses, in the first 20-ish of Surah An-Nur. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Those who accuse, those innocent women, and also this applies to men. Same thing. The only reason Allah applies, mentioned the woman, is because accusing a woman is more harmful than accusing. You accuse me, tomorrow I get married. You accuse a woman, in a lot of times, she's never going to get married. You're destroying. That's why Allah mentioned the woman rather than the man. However, applies for both together. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ لُعِنُوا. Those who accuse those clean, chastised women, لُعِنُوا. Curse. Allah curse them. لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. In this life and in the life after. Curse. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And they have hellfire awaiting for them. Next one is lying in marriage. When one gets married, is the duty to tell the others, you know, all the things about him. Things that are not apparent. Things you wouldn't tell general and regular people, it's your duty to tell them, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed, for example, a woman marries a man and he has a problem. Whatever that problem may be, that affects her life, she can ask for a divorce and she does not have to give back his dowry. And the opposite is true. A man gives the dowry to a woman and he marries her, finds out she has a problem. Maybe sexual problem, maybe a physical problem, maybe a mental problem. She didn't reveal. The hukum on that is clear. He gets to divorce her. Not only that, all the money has to go back to him. Whatever dowry he paid, whatever expenses it caused him, he has to pay it back. So he has to be truthful in pre-marriage settings. Okay. There's also, for example, in business, in dealing in business, many hadith on that. There's lying to kids, which also is not right. But let us take, you know, general common sense stuff, which all fall under lying. Be a waste of time for me to go one by one and bring you the proof on them.